Hey guys, it's Ash and welcome back to a solo session episode of On the Rocks. This week, I'm cheating a little bit and I'm bringing a special guest with me to get me through this solo session, but I promise it will be worth the invasion. We're going to talk about something that is a personal fave of mine, and it's slowly but surely taking over all of Black Twitter. We're finally talking Game of Thrones, so I'm not going to hold y'all. Let's go ahead and get started. Okay. So, if you haven't already figured it out or been paying attention, this is the Game of Thrones episode, and I am joined by a special guest slash fellow Game of Thrones fan. Lamp's here, y'all. Say hey, Lamp.
What's happening, y'all?
So, as y'all know, me and solo sessions don't get along. I feel very awkward talking to myself, but in particular, I feel awkward talking about certain subjects that I really nerd out about. Y'all heard that Black History episode. Hoo chow. Anyways, I figured if I talked about something that I thoroughly enjoyed, but I also got someone who is also currently enjoying it, I figured if I got his opinion, it would make this a little bit easier. So, first things first, Lamp, where's your drink?
My drink is on the floor.
All right. Get it.
Okay. I got it.
Can you get mine?
Jesus Christ.
Don't Jesus Christ me. All right. Okay. What are we cheering to?
Well, seeing as though we saw Avengers Endgame last night.
No, bro, this isn't about that.
We're not going to talk about that.
I'm just saying this ain't that kind of party, bro.
We're giving a toast to the perfect ending to the first 10 years of Marvel movies.
This is supposed to be about Game of Thrones.
And the beginning of a weekend that will probably have us completely emotional.
Matter of fact, we're toasting to Brienne the Stallion. Cheers. Okay. What are you drinking? Oh, wait, never mind. I'm not even going to ask that question.
Why not?
Because you're going to go into your whole diatribe about it and not have time. I'm having a glass of rosé if anyone else is interested. Okay. So, first things first. Lamp, what made you want to start watching Game of Thrones?
Well, for me, it was a simple case of one night I come into the room and I was just planning on doing my normal thing before I go to bed, and you were actually watching it, and from there I was like, oh, you're giving Game of Thrones another try. And you was like, yeah. I was like, well, if we can get past the incest in the first episode,
woo!
I think we'll be fine. And sure enough, we made it through the incest, and well, here we are. Season 8, episode 3 on Sunday.
Yep. So, just to give a quick Game of Thrones synopsis for beginners. Basically, Game of Thrones is based on, it's like a fantasy world. Imagine King Arthur, but with like dragons and all types of other crazy shit. And, you know, incest and gore. And, you know, it's just a hot-ass mess.
You do know that King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, they did deal with dragons back then.
I know,
well.
But I'm talking about fantasy shit. Shut up!
Listen, people. Game of Thrones is the medieval version of Love and Hip Hop. So, I will say that Game of Thrones is Love and Hip Hop Westeros. That is the best way to say it. That is what Game of Thrones is.
I wouldn't say
There's love triangles. There's power struggles. I mean, there's no one trying to push their mixtape, sadly.
I wouldn't say love and hip-hop.
It's love and hip-hop.
No, it's not love and hip-hop. There's like a hella black show. Matter of fact, okay. So like, imagine Real Housewives, Atlanta, meets, damn, what is that other shit? Oh, yeah. So, matter of fact, okay. I'll give you to you. So it's like Real Housewives of Atlanta meets Love and Hip Hop, but with dragons and shit in the medieval times. That's the best y'all gonna get. So
the Real Housewives of Westeros.
Yeah, the Real Housewives of Westeros. See, this is why I keep you around. So we got this place called Westeros. It's got seven kingdoms and shit. You will find there is a young man named Jon Snow. Jon Snow is the bastard son, quote unquote, of this man named Ned Stark. Ned Stark is the Lord of the North. The North remembers. And he and his wife, Catelyn, that bitch, they got how many kids? Is it five?
They had a lot of motherfuckers, honestly.
They had, we'll just start from scratch. They had Rickon, they had Bran, they had Arya, they had Sansa, and they had Robb. How many is that?
Well, three, at that point,
so three boys and two girls, so five.
Not counting the air quotes, bastard son,
yeah.
Jon Snow.
So we don't count Jon Snow because basically when Ned went off to war a few years ago, he came back and he came back with a little souvenir and his wife was just not happy about it. And she literally has resented this dude for all of his life. So when the series starts off, you find out that there's this large ice wall. It's like 300 miles long and some shit done happened at the wall. I'm not going into grave details because if push comes to shove and y'all really want a legit synopsis, Google the Samuel L. Jackson synopsis of Game of Thrones. And even though it only takes you to season 6, it's very fucking funny. But the episode starts off, some shit done popped off at the ice wall. But that's where John is going because apparently the ice wall needs soldiers. You either go willingly or you go because you're avoiding death. So Jon Snow goes there. Ned Stark goes to a kingdom, King's Landing, with his two daughters because Catelyn is like, oh, I don't want to go. I want to stay here, blah, 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 blah. And the shit that Jamar was talking about with all the incest, there are two characters who happen to be twin brother and sister, Jaime and Cersei. They get caught fucking by Bran, who was the middle boy, the middle Stark boy. And Jaime's like, oh, this little nigga about to fuck up my shit. So he pushes him out of the window because Bran had a penchant for climbing shit, even though his mama told him not to. And yeah. That is where everything sets it off from there. I will go ahead and tell people now, the first season is a difficult season to get through. However, in order to know everything that, in order to make sense of everything that pops off once things start getting good, you have to suffer through the first part of season one. Do you agree with that, Lamp?
This I can agree with for two reasons.
Okay.
For one, I was actually someone who, the first time I started watching Game of Thrones, I literally would, like, I skipped all the way to the end of season one and went ahead to start watching season two. And I was like, but wait, why the fuck is this happening? So I was forced to go back to the first few episodes of season one and have to deal with the incestuous behavior that was going on. Plus, I cannot lie, it was kind of cool to see that kid fly out of the window of that tower.
I'm sorry. Okay, you know what? No. Okay.
What?
Anywho's, also another thing to note, the whole point of this show is to talk about who sits on the Iron Throne. And at the beginning of the show, it is a man named Robert Baratheon, and he got three kids, quote unquote. He has a kid named Joffrey, Tormund. No, not Tormund. What was the little other boy's name? See, this is why I told you I wanted to do my research.
I'll say it like this. You had Joffrey, punk ass bitch. Then you had, I'm going to call him good old no name. Because good old no name don't really last but
he
so
long. He has
a
name. Google it.
He has a name, but the motherfucker barely lasted a season. Barely. And at that, he was actually the baby. His sister was older than him.
Oh, shit. Okay. Google it, Lamp. Jesus. Anyways, so while he's Googling that, you need to know about this other person. So if we go across the sea to Essos, there is a young woman named Daenerys Targaryen. Daenerys is the child of the Mad King Aerys Targaryen, I believe. And this nigga was just crazy. But long story short, she is just trying to live her life and get back to the Iron Throne. However, her brother is this piece of shit man who basically marries her off to the Dothraki army general or soldier, Khal Drogo, and she is made the Khaleesi. But this is all a way for him to establish a military alliance so he can take back the throne. I'm not going to tell y'all all the gory details of what happens. Let's just say this bitch is called the Mother of Dragons for a reason.
Okay, I'll give them a quick run through of what happens there. Basically, through season one, what you end up seeing happen is her brother, who does some very fucked up shit.
Very fucked up shit.
He wanted the crown for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, Khal Drogo, just to give y'all a quick run, he is played by Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
I know a lot of you women may say, oh shit, now I really have to watch it. I hate to hit you with a spoiler.
Shut up.
But basically what he does is he gets some very hot metal that's melted and he pours it on her brother's head. And of course that would kill anybody because it's hot metal and it's on your head. So as it hardens, it gets extremely heavy. So, needless to say, he's now dead.
Oh, yeah.
But at the very end of season one, you really see why Daenerys is named the Mother of Dragons. But where my wife felt as though y'all really needed to know the name of all of Cersei Lannister's children, you had Joffrey Baratheon, punk-ass bitch, Tommen Baratheon.
Tommen! Okay, I knew it was a T.
Baby back, bitch.
And Marcella. Okay. Oh, yeah. For those who... If this is for some odd reason your first time listening, Lamp is my husband. We just got married, and I'm not one of those people who likes to do the whole my husband thing. So, yeah, y'all will hear me refer to him as Lamp. But, yeah, he's not just some random nigga I found off the street. We actually, you know, we're cool. Anywho's, I will say that the reason why I started watching Game of Thrones is because it was something where I was like, this is just, if I can just get past the fact that this man is fucking his sister, I think this could be some shit. And I came in on Game of Thrones in like season 6, so it had already developed into like a huge deal. So I was like, well, there's no time like the present. So I remember I started watching in season 7. And then when season 7 was over, I went back and I started from scratch. And I will say, starting later on was probably the best thing I could have done. Because it got me past a bunch of that other crazy shit. And by the time the 7th season was over, we had 2 years to get ready for the final season, season 8. And I was like, you know what? There is no time like now on this 2-year break to start Game of Thrones from scratch. Some people started it later than others. I'm not going to call no names. I'm just saying. So, yeah. That's where we're at. What are you doing?
I'm looking up stuff for Game of Thrones.
Why?
Because you said we need to do research.
So okay, you know what? We're done.
Have good information right now.
You know what? I'm not doing this. Because when I try to look up shit, what are you looking up shit? How long is this episode going to be? Anyways, so Like I said, we're not going to go into a huge thing, mainly because even though Game of Thrones has been out for 7 years, so it's like y'all cannot complain about spoilers. I want to be respectful of the people who want to watch and see some major shit for themselves. So I will say, while we won't spoil, like, we won't give major details, we're just basically about to, I'm going to have Lamp and I kind of take turns answering some questions about the show. And in answering those questions, there is a possibility that certain details will be revealed. Yeah, there's that. But yeah, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will go ahead and, like, you know, start. We're going to start some shit. Okay? I'll be back. All right, hoes. We're back. So, fun question. Who is your current favorite person on Game of Thrones?
My current favorite? Mm-hmm. Well, to explain my favorite character, I kind of got to jump back in a couple seasons to give the people an idea of who he is.
Okay.
My favorite character is Tormund Giantsbane.
Okay.
Tormund is a wildling, which the wildlings are the people that live beyond the wall. Mm-hmm. They live in the snowy pits of hell, I hate to say.
The snowy pits of hell? That's an oxymoron.
Completely, but it was truly considered the snowy pits of hell.
Okay.
But Tormund, he's actually played by this dude that was in The Fate of the Furious, like the last Fast and the Furious movie.
Oh, but so what is that?
Wow. Anywho.
I'm sorry. Who is out here still willingly watching the Fast and the Furious?
I actually own all 8 of them.
Who is willingly?
I actually own all 8 of them.
Nigga, you're weird. Okay, fuck you.
I own a lot of movies. Fuck you.
Continue.
Anyway, Tormund to me might be one of the coolest characters on the show, because literally, Tormund, in my opinion, is very much the definition of what a black man would have probably been in Game of Thrones.
Tormund's a wild boy, yo. Nigga is wild.
Legitimately, I would say Tormund, honestly, if that was a black man, he would probably be a Geechee black man. Just because of how he carries himself.
That's fair.
Because his outfit, wow. The way he talks, wow. He don't give a flying fuck about nothing. He knows he can brawl.
He stay in the fight.
And literally, this motherfucker, his last name, which we really don't even know if that's his last name, we just calling him that. But literally, he got his last name because he killed a giant, crawled into bed with the giant's wife. The giant's wife then thought he was a baby and made him suck on her titty and drink her giant's milk. This was how he got his nickname of Giant's Bane. Tormund is literally every bit the definition of what a black man would have been if he was cast out. Well, you know what? It's not even a question of if he would have been cast out. I personally feel as though black people would have been completely kicked out of all of Westeros and would have been wildlings to start off with.
For those who are keeping up, like, for anyone who's currently watching the show, we saw on episode 2 of this latest season how these motherfuckers feel about melanin. So all I can say is, If a certain 2 people make it out alive, them niggas say they going to Atlanta.
Oh, they dead.
Shut up.
They ain't making
it. Poor old God.
We got running bets on that. But enough about my favorite character. Mm-hmm. Who is your favorite character?
Okay, so my favorite character currently on the series is Lyanna Mormont. She is this little girl. She is literally the most badass. She's the baddest bitch. She is the head of her house, but also she is one of the banner houses who pledged the allegiance to the North. She is constantly talking shit to old men And I think that might be my favorite part. She literally just, her goal, her mission, and her joy in life is to tell fuck niggas about themselves. And it gives me so much joy because she's been doing it for like the past 3 seasons. And it seems like with every season, she just gets more and more spicy. Season 8 in particular, my good sis was in her bag with these comebacks. And she is literally a pipsqueak, but she is talking greasy to these old men and daring them to say shit to her. So she is currently my favorite. My second favorite honorable mention is Lady Olenna, rest in peace. Another bad bitch who was just, y'all will quickly notice my favorite people on this show are the ones who give attitudes and who always got some slack, sly ass shit to say. Lady Olenna was about that shit, but she was also a rich ass bitch. And, you know, she just stood up in her shit constantly. Her last and final immortal words, tell Cersei I wanted to know it was me. For my fans, y'all know what she was talking about. So, yeah, those are my faves. So, Game of Thrones has a lot of death in it. Like, you know.
Lady Olenna is just basically a little scrappy mama.
Whoa. Don't you ever in your life disrespect Lady Olenna again.
That's what she was. I hate to say it.
No, she... You know, I ain't gonna entertain that bullshit.
She deserves.
Fuck you, okay? But yeah, Game of Thrones is, like, marked by death. So, what was the death that you were the most broken up about?
The death that took me under the most. There were two of them.
Okay.
The Red Wedding was the very first one.
Okay.
Because literally, I had no fucking clue that any of that was about to go down.
Y'all, let me interject real quick. Jamar's not lying. I remember, because like I said, I had finished reviewing the series way before Jamar even finally started to watch it. When he says he came into our room and saw me watching it, that was, I was rewatching that shit again for shits and giggles. Where he came in, he actually went back and started it on his own. And I remember him telling me, oh, you know, I think I was out of town when he was watching it. Yeah, so I had gone out of town. He was like, yeah, I'm watching this episode. Rob and his wife, they going somewhere with his mom. And I was like, oh, shit. And I remember he texted me. He was like, why didn't you warn me? And my boy was legit in mourning because he was just like, why didn't you tell me that that shit got that real? Okay, go ahead.
Put it like this, people. I'm trying to think of what I could compare the Red Wedding to. A matter of fact, I would compare the Red Wedding to kind of the end of Set It Off.
Wow.
Because the first death, I was hoping she wouldn't have died, but it happened. The best way to say it, people, pregnant woman got stabbed in her belly and she bled to death. Then while this is going on, dude comes over to this girl. He's trying to, you know, caress her and be like, babe, don't go, babe, don't go. While he's saying, babe, don't go, he gets shanked. Then all of a sudden, his mom, she goes full G, and she was like, if y'all let my son go, or I'll kill your... Like, basically, she actually said, let my son go, or I'll kill your bitch. And this motherfucker literally walked up, sliced her son's throat. He bleeds out right there. She cuts this dude bitch throat. She bleeds out. Dude ain't really care that his bitch died. Cause then while mom just standing there, he walked, tell somebody to go over there. They slice her throat. Best way to say it, Red Wedding, everybody die. No, ain't no chances. Everybody dead in the Red Wedding.
The good news about the Red Wedding is Arya,
she lived.
Who was the baby Stark girl. Arya gets her revenge. I'm not going to tell y'all how she does it. All I'm going to say is,
Our girl has no faces.
Not even that. My homegirl came in, fucked shit up and said, When people ask you about what happened here today, tell them that the North fucking remembers. And that's that on that.
And then the second death that kind of took me under was when Jon Snow died.
Okay.
Because Jon Snow was actually handling shit. He was a great leader. And the motherfuckers went mutiny on him. And like 5 people stabbed him. As a matter of fact, he got stabbed more than 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
But you only really see 5 people stab him.
I thought it was only 4.
Nah, because the 5th person was that little bastard punk ass bitch boy.
Yeah.
Which sadly, all of the motherfuckers who did stab Jon Snow, which just to let y'all know, Jon Snow don't be dead for but so long. He's literally dead for like 2 episodes and then he's back. Whole nother crazy piece of it. But they hang the shit out of the motherfuckers who stabbed Jon Snow, even the little bitch ass boy. But in that moment, when you see Jon Snow die, because I literally thought the motherfucker was not gonna die, that was easily one of the best prolonged death scenes I've ever seen. Like, y'all know how when you see, if you go to YouTube and you look up like horrible deaths, where you just see people like, oh, I'm dead.
Who is going to YouTube and looking up, you know what, never mind.
My generation was a different generation. We actually used to look up like terrible acting where people just prolonged the death scene.
Sure.
His death scene was very similar to that, except it actually was worth it because he was actually strong as shit. But that one, it kind of took me under. I was sad for about 2 episodes. And then my man came back, and he's been the baddest motherfucker ever since. Now, what death possibly hurt you the most?
So, there is one that hurt me, and there is one that I was just, like, not prepared for. The one that broke me, and I mean, like, I was, whoo! So, Hodor's death. Hodor was this, he wasn't a giant, but he was like this large man who he was assigned caretaker of Bran, aka little nigga who got pushed out the window when he saw the twins fucking. Bran becomes paralyzed, but also Bran goes through a lot of shit throughout the seasons of Game of Thrones. We don't have time to get into the shit, but I will tell y'all that Hodor was a real one. From day one, he handled his responsibility. Hodor was not intelligent by any means. Literally, the only 2 words he could say was Hodor. And we find out as he dies that the reason why he says Hodor is because it is... Is there a simple way to explain that shit?
Yes, I can give a simple explanation.
You don't, okay, sure.
Hodor, when he was younger, you know, he was actually like a normal kid. He could talk. But what you find out happens is Bran can see into the past and some shit that he saw in the past so the best way to say it, you got present day, Bran's looking back in time. And as Bran's looking back in time, shit that's happening present day is what impacted Hodor when he was younger. So what Bran was seeing, which what he saw was Hodor trying to save him from the White Walkers, these badass zombies.
Yeah.
But Hodor is trying to save him, and as Hodor is trying to save him, Bran is actually controlling Hodor's mind to get him to stay there. Best way to say it, if you watch X-Men, he's on some Professor Xavier type shit.
That's a good metaphor.
While he's doing that, it's affecting Hodor as a child in the past, which Hodor all of a sudden... You see him fall down, and while he's falling down,
he has a seizure.
Yeah, he has a seizure, and during his seizure, he's just saying, "Hold the door, hold the door." But as he says it so many times, it's almost as though like his tongue goes numb.
Hold the door, and he hold just door, hold door, hold door.
And right when he starts saying, Oh, right Jesus. When he starts saying Hodor, that's when Hodor actually dies in present time. Which I find it funny because I follow Fat Kid Deals on Twitter, and they actually had a doorstop with Hodor on it. And I thought it was the perfect thing because I found that like literally after I saw that episode.
I have tears in my eyes just thinking, like, y'all don't understand. Lamp will tell y'all, I was walking around this house like someone had kicked my fucking puppy. I was hurt. I said Shiva for Hodor. I mourned. I had fried chicken and Czech soda for Hodor. Anywho's. But yeah, that was the death that broke me. The death that didn't break me, but it was like hella horrifying to see. In later seasons, Cersei and Jaime's younger brother, Tyrion, who is another good, funny character of mine. Tyrion is accused of a crime that he did not commit. However, his bitch of a sister is just not... Her and logic and common sense don't get along. They don't know each other. They're not friends. She don't know her. So, Cersei got this vendetta against Tyrion, which she's had against him since birth because their mother died giving birth to Tyrion. And also, Tyrion is a dwarf, an imp. So, he is resented by his father and his sister. But strangely enough, it seems that he and his brother Jaime can always kind of find the common ground, which I think is a redeemable quality. But anyways, yeah, Tyrion's on trial for some shit. Apparently, they decide that the way they're going to solve whether or not Tyrion can go free is there is going to be a fight by trial, or is it...
Basically, Tyrion knew he was going to be found guilty.
I don't know.
You talking about the whole, like, are you talking about when old buddy?
Well, I'm saying I would like to explain it. You just jumped in.
Oh, I thought you had paused because you wanted me to.
No, I just wanted you to say the name of it, but I think it was Trial by Combat. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Trial by Combat.
So, because, of course, Tyrion, he is a tiny, Lord, forgive me. Tyrion, as we said, is a dwarf.
He's played by Peter Dinklage, which is the little short guy from... He's been in a lot of movies, but he's a little short guy.
Anyways, so Tyrion knows that he can't fight. And the person he has to fight is this big, tall-ass nigga named the Mountain. And we won't even go into that fucked up shit. But Tyrion hires this man named Oberyn from Martell. No, not Martell. What? Oh, shit. What is the name of the city? It's not Viserion.
I mean, his name was Martell.
Yeah, Oberyn is from the House of Martell, but I can't remember what city it is that he's from. I will say, the Martells are some badasses. They did not bend the knee. Unbowed, unbent, unbroken is the sigil of their house.
Dorne,
yes. So Oberyn is a warrior from Dorne.
The sand snake.
Oberyn has a vendetta against this man, the Mountain, because the Mountain raped...
He was the Red Viper. My fault. That was his actual nickname, the Red Viper of Dorne.
Uh-huh. So Oberyn has a vendetta against the Mountain because the Mountain raped his sister and killed her. So Oberyn is in this nigga, the Mountain's ass. And for anyone who watches the show, y'all will know that it was kind of weird because it was like Oberyn is talking cash money shit. Nigga, this the day you die. I'll beat your ass. Blah, 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 blah. And at one point, it really does appear that it is curtains for this nigga, the Mountain. Oberyn has wounded him severely with this sword, apparently, that poisons him. However, the Mountain is still the Mountain, and he yokes Oberyn up, he gouges his eyeballs out, and then he smashes him into the concrete, and literally all you see is a crushed skull, and blood everywhere. There are people screaming, and it is literally the most gruesome, horrifying death, in my opinion, on that show. Because literally, we thought Oberyn had it. And granted, we thought maybe he would die, but it's just something you have to see. Like, it's just literally gruesome.
Like y'all know how in, like, how they say when you got somebody down, go ahead and finish them? Mm-hmm. Y'all know how they always tell you don't talk shit to somebody when you got them down? Like, make sure you end them? Well, Oberyn, because he wanted the mountain to admit that he had raped and killed his sister, where he had ample opportunity to kill him, he kept screaming, "Say her name, say her name." And when he finally, you know, kind of just gave in and said, "Fuck it, I'm gonna kill this man," he gave him too much time. So when he got over him, the mountain grabbed him by his throat, got him on the ground, put a thumb in each eye, busted his eyes out. And while he was screaming and everybody was watching in horror, the mountain, who's this big, like, the best way to explain the mountain,
the nigga's a mountain.
He is 7'1", about 425 pounds, but he literally looks like muscle. But he, while squeezing his head, he literally shatters his head all in at the same time. And everybody's just like in awe. Me, I said, that's what happens when you don't do the double tap like how they said in Zombieland.
I'm about to throw up.
You gotta kill a motherfucker.
On to happier times. What death in the show made you the happiest?
Bruh, there are so many deaths that actually made me happy on this show. Ooh. But there's legitimately one. There is one. Nah, there were two. The first one that made me actually happy that I kind of celebrated was, y'all remember when I was calling Joffrey, Cersei's son, a punk-ass bitch? When he died, I literally celebrated. Because Joffrey was a complete pain in my ass this whole show. And he got poisoned, and he literally died in his mom's arms, not being able to breathe. I felt that was perfect. The second death was when Ramsay Bolton, just to let y'all know, Ramsay Bolton is literally the reincarnation of Satan. Like, he did some of the most foulest shit. Like, he cut a motherfucker dick off and some other foul shit. But basically, Ramsay got in a fight with Jon Snow, and it was called the Battle of the Bastards. And Jon Snow won. And when they went to kill Ramsay, they put him in a cage with these dogs who Ramsay had not fed. And so Ramsay said, "These dogs won't hurt me because they know that I'm their master." Needless to say, these dogs ripped Ramsay to shreds. Mm-hmm. Ramsay raped people. Ramsay cut people nuts off. He was the reincarnation of Satan.
So the House of Bolton, and of course, in that time, everyone has like a coat of arms or a sigil. For example, the Starks, their sigil, or the picture symbol on their coat of arms is a dire wolf.
Big ass wolf for people who may not know what a dire wolf is.
So there's the dire wolf. There's another house, their Targaryen, their symbol is a dragon because where they used to live, it was called Dragonstone. The Boltons' symbol is literally a flailed man. And flailed basically means it is a picture of a man who has been filleted, like his skin has been filleted off, and you can see the anatomy inside the man. That shit is on the fucking coat of arms. So that should tell you this ain't the people you want to be fucking with. But that's just me. But yeah, so Ramsay is a terror. Literally. And it's awkward because starting off, he seems so innocent and quiet. And, you know, it's like, oh, what damage could this little nigga possibly do? Oh, bitch. Oh, bitch. There are not enough words that I can say about that motherfucker.
He dead.
Yeah, he's dead. And the best part is the one of the people who he inflicted the most pain on got to watch it go down. That's the best way I can explain it. So, my favorite death is actually one that is probably, you probably, if I was to tell you about, you'd probably be like, ha ha ha, that's funny. So, in season 3, Daenerys has made it, Daenerys has made it, she's conquered a bunch of cities, but in particular, she is interested in conquering or acquiring this army called the Unsullied. The Unsullied is this large army of men who are eunuchs, and for those who do not know what a eunuch means, it is basically mean that their penises and their testicles are removed as a sign of like warrior strength. No, so literally bones. There's nothing there. Yeah.
It's a pelvic wall.
Wow, Lamp. Like you really said that shit.
Pelvic wall, people.
You
may continue.
You really said that shit.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, anywho's. So fast forward, season 3, Daenerys, a.k.a. Dany, a.k.a. the Mother of Dragons, a.k.a. the Snatcher of Chains, a.k.a. the Unburned or something like that. Either way, this bitch got a million names. Dany, at one point in time, had 3 dragons, and one of her dragons is taken hostage by this slave trade, like this rude-ass man. So she, you know, they strike up this deal, and meanwhile, the slave trader is talking cash money shit about Dany in this language called Valyrian, and he thinks that Dany does not understand what he's saying, so he's talking hella shit about her, all the while he has one of her dragons on a leash or like chain or whatever. So after a certain point, Dany has just had enough of this shit. And she's like, you know what? I'm about to show this man that fat means greasy. So when she acquires the army, the first thing she does is she tells them niggas, kill every slave master and person who has a chain or a whip in their hands. So these Unsullied niggas go to town. And I mean, when I tell y'all, they are stabbing niggas left and right to the point they ain't even stopping to wipe the swords and the jab. What is the jab thing that stabs people? Like that long stick they have.
They had a stick with a knife on it.
Whatever. Either way, they ain't even wasting no time to wipe blood off and, you know, organs and, you know, intestines. They are just stabbing and they're going to town. So in the middle of that, Daenerys starts speaking Valyrian and it's revealed. She's like, oh, this is my mother tongue, bitch. Like, you fucking thought. And she tells her dragon, Dracarys. Which Dracarys is the way she basically tells them, a bitch, breathe some fire. And literally, she burns this man to a crisp. Okay? To a crisp.
Yeah, she did.
You hear me? It was literally a crisp. Like, it was barbecue. It was a barbecue. Honey, it was just, I was just so happy. Yeah, so that was my favorite death because that man talked like he fucking knew what was up and homegirl literally just, you know, she was in her fucking bad bitch bag and I was proud of it. So yeah. That was my favorite death. What character do you feel has had the best development over the past few seasons?
I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in this one.
Okay.
The character that I feel has had the best story arc thus far is Jaime Lannister.
That's not a monkey wrench.
Jaime Lannister, when the show starts and you see him push Bran out of the tower window, you immediately say, oh, fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to die.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jaime starts to do some good. You're like, okay, maybe he's just a misunderstood, incestuous son of a bitch.
Wow.
But then, all of a sudden, he gets back to his incestuous ways, and he does some fucked up shit.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking, then you're like,
fucking Cersei in the crypt with their dead child, literally 2 feet away. Yeah, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
But then you get past, like, so then at that point, you're like, oh, fuck him, again. Then all of a sudden, he starts to do some good.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, I like this motherfucker again. Maybe he's not so bad. And then he just does some all stupid ass shit, which he tried to kill a dragon by himself, almost got burnt to the fucking crisp, and you actually were ecstatic about him almost dying at that point.
And it's not because you hated him because he was evil. You hated him because he was so fucking stupid.
That too. But then, at the end of season 7, he redeems himself again. And it's like, now he is a character that you, it's not that you like him, but you can put up with him as long as he does the right shit from here on out. But literally, I feel as though his arc was perfect because he was, I'm a Lannister, I can do what the fuck I want. Oh shit, my family's fucked up. Fuck this. My sister got good box. Oh shit, I need to stop doing some of this dumb shit. You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna do this dumb shit. And now he's like, wait, my sister is a complete and utter, women, I apologize. I know y'all may not like this word. My sister is a complete and utter bitch. She lies too much. She does a bunch of fuck shit. She is truly a fuck boy, but in a female's body. So I'm against her. So that's literally Jamie's story arc thus far. It's a lot more detail to it, but we don't need all of that right now.
Okay.
Yours.
The person I feel that has developed the most is Theon Greyjoy. We first meet Theon. Theon is actually he's the prisoner of Ned Stark. When Ned Stark went to go fight off in that war, he came back with the bastard Jon Snow. One of the people who gave Ned Stark trouble was this man from the Iron Islands. Now, all the different kingdoms in Westeros, they got specific skill sets. Iron Islands ain't got shit. These niggas literally are thieving, robbing, scamming ass niggas.
What is dead can never die.
They are literally what the city girls are talking about. Scamming ass, bitch ass niggas. So, you know, Theon's dead and Ned Stark get into some shit. Ned Stark emerges victorious. And Theon's father basically leaves that little nigga for dead. So Ned Stark brings him back to Winterfell. And while he is not a son, it is very clear from episode 1 that he, Rob, and Jon, though their dynamic may be a little tense at times, they are brothers. They were all raised together. So, all of a sudden, you see Theon switch his allegiance and he takes over Winterfell. So then where we normally was like, oh, you know, Theon was cool people. He served a purpose. We start to hate Theon. But then Theon is captured by Ramsay Bolton. And Ramsay Bolton does unspeakable things to Theon.
He's now a eunuch.
He's a eunuch. But also, he has mentally fucked up Theon to the point where Theon didn't even answer to the name Theon. He answered like to something else. Theon literally froze. He had PTSD in the worst possible way. And I mean, like, where it counted. Like, this nigga's sister needed his help. And Theon just stood there, frozen, and, like, solid like a statue. So, we go from being cool with Theon, to hating Theon, to being feeling sorry for Theon, to eventually rooting for him to take back what is his. And I feel like his character development has been the best because we have felt all of these emotions for him. And now that it is literally, now that it is really getting down to the nitty gritty, we know that more than likely Theon will not see a happy ending. But we, the fans, are rooting for him anyway because he's been through so much. And it just seems like, in particular, he has developed a really strong bond with Sansa, who was the oldest Stark girl. And it's... What the hell, Limp?
Sorry, people.
God, put your fucking phone down.
Wow.
Anyways, if it's not for research...
It was for research, that's the worst.
Not with that loud ass shit. Anyways, moral of the story, Theon deserves, after all that he's been through, Theon deserves a little slice of happiness. Is he gonna get it? More than likely not, but the nigga gonna die trying, and you know, we can't fault her for that. Honorable mention for favorite death, Lord Baelish, aka Littlefinger. That was a delightful death. Quick synopsis about Littlefinger. Littlefinger is this advisor slash nigga who used to work for Robert Baratheon, but when things go left in season one, Littlefinger's just a sly, slick ass nigga who cannot be trusted. He's also like hella creepy because he's in love with Sansa, because he used to be in love with Sansa's mother. So he feels like if he can, like, fuck Sansa in a way, he's fucking Catelyn. It's strange. But eventually, Sansa ends up back in Winterfell. And her sister Arya ends up back in Winterfell. And Littlefinger tries to turn them against each other. We can't really get into the life that Arya has led since season one. However, we can say that homegirl has become the one you do not want to fuck with. And where it seems that things between her and her sister Sansa really might not ever get back on the same page, Sansa basically reveals that she knows that Littlefinger's been playing her. And literally, this nigga is on his hands and knees begging for Sansa to take him back. And, you know, I didn't do it. Don't believe it. And Arya literally just walks up to this nigga and with one swipe, that's it. Severs this nigga. And it is wild. Like I said, it was sudden because he was doing all this talking. And she just said, I'm finna show you what is going on. And it's just, it was very badass. It was also the first time where we were like, oh, Arya and Sansa will be fine. The Stark kids, they're gonna be okay because they got each other back when it counts. So yeah, that was another honorable mention for my favorite death. Now, last question. Who do you think who has had the worst character development? Or what character do you feel like started off good, but now you just can't stand them?
Honestly, most of the ones who did, they're now dead.
Okay.
If any, there would only be one. Because I actually liked Sansa's storyline, liked Arya's, Jon's was straight. I would have to say the Hound.
Whoa. Interesting.
Because personally, like, I like the Hound because the Hound is another just tell you how it is. He just don't give two fucks. He just do what he do and just say fuck everybody. But I don't like him. And I think part of why I don't like him is because I feel as though my not liking for him goes back all the way to that battle in West, like at King's Landing, when he actually then went and hid inside the, when he was hiding inside that tomb drinking. And I think that was when he actually helped Arya escape, I believe.
Okay.
But ever since then, because he was like the biggest, baddest motherfucker, because literally the beginning of that episode, Ned Stark's oldest daughter, Sansa, she got split up from the king, King Joffrey, punk ass bitch. She got split from him because the townspeople were revolting and she was about to get raped. And this motherfucker comes through and he kills three dudes like it was nothing. Like, literally, he cut one of the dudes completely in half, like, with his sword. But then he gets to a big-ass battle, and he was killing a couple people, and then all of a sudden, he just went bitch and said, you know what, fuck this. I'm going to go hide in the castle and drink, but then I'm going to take this back way out of the castle and go hide. And now he wants to be a good guy, but I'm like, nah, dude, I honestly hope the White Walkers fuck you up. But I know they're not going to fuck him up because I have an idea what his story arc is supposed to end as. But yeah, I do not like the Hound.
Okay. Person who I feel like their character development has led them to be unlikable, Daenerys. Daenerys at this current point in time is so hungry for power that she is letting common sense and act right evade her. She is also being very, what's the word? She's being very delusional over some dick. And granted, there's big dick energy involved. Like, it is very clear that this nigga walking, he talk cause of, like a pimp because he is. And, like, it's just, I'm not mad at her for being penis induced, like, I'm not mad at her for being digmatized. However, as strong as she has been these last 7 seasons, for this to be the season where it could possibly all go to shit because of some misjudgment and some jealousy, but also just downright brattiness, she is not my favorite person right now. And there are several times where I wish that I could just pluck her off my screen. So yeah. That's my least favorite person, character development-wise. And so, yeah, who do you think is going to be on the Iron Throne when it's all said and done?
When it's all said and done, because I know right now, if y'all have been following Twitter and seeing what people have been saying, a lot of people there saying that they don't want Daenerys on the throne. They honestly hope Daenerys gets killed within one of the next couple of episodes. I'm going to go ahead and say, at the end of the day, Jon Snow is set to be the person to sit on the Iron Throne. But Jon Snow, once you start watching the show, he does not really like being a leader. He does not like having all of that power. I personally feel as though Jon Snow will relinquish the throne to Daenerys, which, quick newsflash, people, Jon Snow is fucking his aunt because Daenerys is actually his aunt.
I didn't think we were going to talk about
that. Fuck that. Oh. Y'all getting that spoiler tonight. Oh, okay. But he's going to relinquish the throne to her and then he will go back and be the Lord of the North. Which really he won't fully be the Lord of the North because really he has no direct claim to the North.
Yeah.
Which, realistically, I think he actually goes to where he's truly originally from. Daenerys sits on the throne and the oldest Stark daughter actually becomes the Lady of the North. That is how I think Game of Thrones will end in terms of who's sitting on the Iron Throne. I could give y'all a lot more shit of what I think is going to happen, but we have to go for a whole nother hour for me to break that down.
I'm not making any predictions of who will be on the Iron Throne, but I can tell you one motherfucking thing. Cersei is not making it. I cannot tell you if it will be Arya who kills her or if it will be Jaime, but or someone else who could completely shock us all. However, what I will tell you is that Cersei is not going to be on that Iron Throne when it's all said and done. Her and that patchy ass haircut can get the fuck on. And that's that on that. Okay.
She's going to get killed by her younger brother, the imp.
Oh, okay. I know I said I had one last question, but this is for the last one. Is there any other honorable mention for characters that you enjoy on the show?
Another character that I enjoy on the show? You know what? I can't think of another character that I enjoy, but there is one character I want to talk some mad shit to real quick, even though he's like one of my favorite characters. Samwell Tarly.
Oh, he was going to be on my favorite list. Okay, go ahead.
Samwell Tarly is this big fat guy who his dad kicks him.
You ain't had to call old boy Porky like that. Like, what's wrong with you?
His dad sends him to the wall to become a man because his dad feels as though he's being a punk. Truly, Sam is a punk. Jon Snow saves Sam on several different occasions. Sam fucks up the men at the wall several times. Sam tries to save this weird-looking girl and her baby and gets a lot of people fucked up. Sam then comes back with this woman and her baby, got some more people fucked up. Sam then goes home. Dad disowns him, tells him he can never come home again. Sam goes to this place where all the learned people go because John told him go there to better himself. And Sam steals books and comes back. Now, Sam is going to make it to the end. Want to know why? Because Sam has actually kind of developed a couple balls all of a sudden. But Sam is one of the most annoying, most whining type characters. He's a lovable character because he tries to do everything right. But at the same time, he's very annoying. So he's like I hate him, but I like him all at the same time.
That's interesting. My favorite honorable mentions go to, of course, Brienne of Tarth, a.k.a. Sir Brienne the Knight, a.k.a. Brienne the motherfucking Stallion. Bitch, you my fave. I stan. You had an amazing episode last week, which means that there's trouble and fuckery afoot. I hope to God I am wrong, because I don't know if I'll be able to handle losing Brienne. But yeah, she's one of my favorite people. She's a badass, but also she is literally defying every stereotype about how a woman should be perceived as desirable. Her character is like defining that. So that's the other reason why I love her. I think that's because you took Samwell Tarly from me.
You could have still said Samwell was your favorite.
One of your Benjen Stark, who was Ned Stark's youngest brother, but also he was Jon's hero, his mentor, and eventually the person who saved Jon's life. Benjen Stark was always one of my favorites. The few episodes where he did pop up in, I just remember that I was so excited to see him. And yeah, that basically wraps up. Do you have anything that you feel people should know? Anything else that we've talked about?
Listen, folks.
That people should know about for Game With Us?
This is what I will say. If you've actually listened to everything that me and Ash have just talked about, you will fully understand exactly why I said Game of Thrones is nothing more than Love and Hip Hop Westeros. In case a lot of y'all are wondering what Westeros is the combination of all of the seven different kingdoms, like King's Landing, Winterfell, the Iron Islands, like that. That's all considered the seven kingdoms, which is called Westeros. As you can see, there's a lot of drama, there's a lot of fighting. But the way I will say it is, I know a lot of people who were never into the show, and then they finally actually watched a couple episodes. That I forced them to get through like the first two or three episodes, and now they're hooked. It's like one of those shows you just got to give it a chance. But the one thing I will say, if you are going to try to get into it, cut off your social media for the next couple weekends. Why? Because it's episode 3 of season 8. Season 8 only has, what, 7 episodes? Or is it 8 episodes?
I think it's 8 episodes.
It's not a lot of episodes, people. And the big shit is about to happen. So here's what I'm going to say to you. I don't know how many of y'all may be Avengers fans. The same way y'all are trying your best not to watch, be on social media right now until you see it, y'all are going to have to do the same thing for Game of Thrones, because motherfuckers are... This is going to be a weekend of extreme emotional distress. Extreme emotional distress. Like, motherfuckers are in the streets crying because of Avengers Endgame. And now they're going to really be in the... Like, motherfuckers are calling out of work on Monday. That's all I got to say. But please watch it. It's a great show.
I agree. Black Twitter watching Game of Thrones is by far the most amazing shit I have ever seen. To see black people tweeting and talking about this foreign fantasy, mythological, crazy shit. But also just talking about it the way that only we, the black community, could do. Adding in African-American vernacular English to the most insightful and funny times. It's just the best thing ever. So, yeah. Kiki, a.k.a. co-host, she told me that she is waiting until the series is over so she can watch all the way through. I think people who are doing like Kiki are hella smart. I think people who are just avoiding that shit because they don't really know where they fit in, go ahead and bite the bullet. Like, there is no... Literally, there's nothing holding you back unless you ain't got access to an HBO account. That holds you back. But for the most part, if you want to watch it, just go ahead and watch it. And, you know, that's the facts.
And if you don't have HBO and you do want to watch it, if you have a Twitter account, look up Fat Kid Deals. Fat Kid Deals is actually running a deal where you can actually get 2 free weeks of HBO Go to where you can actually get completely caught up and maybe even catch one of these new episodes that are going to be coming on over the next 2 weeks. Because each of the next, well, from here on out, the episodes are going to be 80 minutes long, where it's normally an hour long. So that should tell you right there that, oh shit, some shit really about to pop off. But do enjoy. Do enjoy.
Where can the people find you on social media, Lamp?
Well, folks, in case y'all don't know, I'm Lamp.
No.
I have an Instagram.
That's your name?
Oh, God, Adrian. My Instagram is Twisted Lifestyle.
What is that, your name? Like, where did Twisted come from? Like, maybe you should change that shit.
When I created my Instagram, I was doing a lot of stupid shit. So it was like a twisted type of lifestyle.
Well, maybe you should change it.
But, like, my Instagram is Twisted Lifestyle. My Twitter name is TwistedGenius87. But I also have a podcast with my fellas, The Zoo. It's called The Talking Animals Podcast. We have an Instagram, Talking Animals Podcast. We have a Twitter account, at The Zoo 8. And then we...
How do you spell that?
Just to let you guys know, we spell duh, like how actual niggas would probably spell duh. So it's DAZOO and then the number 8. But if you really want to see where the shit really goes down at, join our Facebook group. Or if you want to get involved in the Facebook group, hit up Ash, hit up Kiki.
Just hit up me. Kiki says she is not dealing with... The Facebook group is a little too niggerish for Kiki, and I don't blame her.
I think you guys will enjoy it. because there are a lot where they say it's kind of niggerish, there are a lot of really good conversations that do come out of it. I mean, hell, I think this week we're actually going to discuss a couple things that have been in the news quite a bit that we feel as though needs to be discussed. So, but check it out. Just hit up Ash on Facebook and she'll let one of us know that you want to be added and we can look to get you in there so you can join in the wildness.
Oh, that's it? Okay. Y'all, as always, y'all can follow me at Ash Taylamp Marie. That is AshTaylamp Marie. And that is on Instagram and on Twitter. Follow the podcast, OTR Pod, and follow Lamp and I's business page, The Perfect Mix LLC, on Instagram. Lamp, thank you for sticking it out with me and helping me fulfill my contractual obligation. I hope this quells any questions about whether or not Lamp and I are one of those stereotypical couples. If we ever decide to do a podcast together or do episodes together, it will not be no fake scam empowerment / we know everything about relationships and marriage, because hopefully as y'all can see, we are not those type of people. Is that right, Lamp?
We do not. The best way to say it is, we do not indulge in head assery.
Yes, we don't do that head assery shit.
Like, honestly, if y'all were around us, y'all would actually think we may not like each other because we talk shit to each other all day, every day, like 24/7.
Yeah.
But somehow we still together. For those of y'all that don't know where I got that from, that's from In Living Color. And that was one of my favorite skits from In Living
Color. No one asked you that.
They need to know, though.
No.
They need to know.
Once again,
need to know. Oh, and by the way, where Ashley wouldn't let me tell y'all what my drink was earlier.
Oh, my God. Lamp. All right. Thank y'all so much for tuning into this episode.
The Ice Dragon. It was called the Ice Dragon.
Anyways, thank y'all for tuning into this episode. I don't know if I'll bring Lamp back, but
I'll be back at some point, folks. Y'all will probably hear me yelling in the background during
whatever, girl. All right. Bye, y'all.
Peace.